hey there. Welcome to another episode of the Bill Selleck Talks podcast. My name is Bill Selleck. This is me talking. So this episode, I'm going to walk you through my 6 goals as director of technology at Hillbrook for the current school year. What you will know if you read my blog is that at the last 5 years I've been tech director at Hillbrook School, I have done my year-end reflection of my professional goals as a blog post. So it goes both to Mark Silver, our head of school, my boss, and he actually writes back a reflection to me. But then I've also thought about it in terms of all of you listening and reading to know here's what I'm working on, here's what I've spent a lot of time doing, and here's how that went. So you can read through all those 5 years, but I thought this year, instead of just waiting until June to say, hey, here's what I did all year, I could actually kind of front load you and have it continue to be kind of top of mind for me, but also be able to name some of the work for you that I'm doing. And also, I think along the way, you'll pick up on what I think are some current trends and important things that we as educational technology educators, things we should be caring about, things we should be focused on, things we should be spending our time and energy and thoughts towards. So with that, the first goal is to complete and occupy the hub. So this is our makerspace. It's a new building. It's super, super exciting. We've been really thinking about it for the last 4 years and planning it and building it. It is very much not the, hey, let's jump on the bandwagon of makerspaces are trendy, but actually to be, what are the needs of our community and our campus and our students? What are they trying to do? And can we build a space that will meet that need? And so we're doing that. It's going to be a big, big room that is going to be like the messy, dusty, loud space. So lots of woodworking, all of that kind of prototyping stuff. It's going to be art. It's going to be like robotics and kind of programming and tools and the like Arduino type coding and soldering and all that like electronic stuff. It's going to be audio and video. And it's not going to be like, this is where math is, this is where science is, this is where the selective is. It's going to be like, what are you trying to do? Okay, you need to go to the dusty part and do the woodwork there. What are you trying to do? Make a video? Okay, come upstairs where it's quieter. So we're organizing these spaces around function. The cool thing this year is that 4 of my 6 goals are shared goals. So this is clearly going to be a shared goal, right? I'm super not doing this on my own in the slightest. It's shared with our CFO, Margaret, our head of school, Mark, shared with me. It's a big, big thing that a lot of us in senior leadership are focused on. One thing that I've really loved that I want to name here at the top of the episode is actually that weekly meeting where we talk about here's where we are, here's what we still need to do, getting to know like the electrician, actually planning out here's what cables need to run to what locations, and trying to think about in this space where should displays be, right? So we have one massive place that's being attached that has like the wood shop and the art stuff, and then also another classroom that's a standalone structure off to the side. So standalone structure has a TV on either end. One's really big, one is slightly smaller, but still a big TV. They both have whiteboards that can close over them or reveal the TV. So actually, if you close it, you will see no displays, right? Like no projector, no TV, just whiteboards on either end. If you open it up, you have 2 TVs. So trying to remove the front of the classroom is actually something we built into this space. And then figuring out like where Ethernet cables go, where wireless access points go, how many HDMI cables, where do they go? Like how do they plug into the TV, and just all of the things, actually like planning that out with the electrician, with our architect. All of that's been super interesting. And also just figuring out, you know, here's when the glass work is being ordered. Here's when they're pouring concrete. It's all of those things. And we're going to open in early 2020. It's going to be really cool. Super excited. So if you're following along on the social media, the Twitters, as my mom calls it, on Instagram stories, you'll see updates as time goes on. That's the first goal. The second goal I have, this is another shared goal, although it's deeply personal for me, is to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion work. Over the summer, the entire senior leadership team read the book White Fragility. Robin DiAngelo, she wrote it. It's an amazing read. I highly, highly recommend it if you are an educator. So if you're listening to this, read the book, listen to the book. Great audiobook as well. I could have like a whole episode just about that. I'm not going to do that now. This is the first year that our school has had a full-time senior administrator, director, diversity, equity, inclusion. It's something that our school's really been growing into and really valuing the need for this work as a senior level position. It's also something that came up a lot at the ISTE conference in a lot of conversations I've been having. This is really a moment where we as ed tech people in particular can really make schools more equitable, more inclusive, and we can really be more thoughtful around diversity in a number of ways, right? So that book, White Fragility, really kicked off my school year. If you don't know Equity EDU, special shout out to Equity EDU. They just hosted and we finished a book study of White Fragility. So I'd already read and listened to it. So being able to hear and have kind of a community around that space, they use Google Classroom for that. And also if you're not connected with Equity EDU, hop on their website, join their Facebook group, lots of amazing resources to share. If you don't know quite where to start with being a more inclusive educator, Equity EDU on Facebook is my number one recommendation. And it's also one of those things where now that it is top of mind for me for a number of reasons, not just because it's one of my goals for the year, it's almost like when you buy a car and suddenly you see that car everywhere you go. That's starting to happen with me now around DEI work, DEI being diversity, equity, and inclusion. Right, so we hop on a Netflix at night and we're like, hey, there's a Netflix documentary around white privilege. That one in particular is Hello Privilege. It's me, Chelsea, who's a comedian. I don't think I knew Chelsea Handler that actually looks at her white privilege, particularly as a comedian, just kind of what that means for her life, what it means for white people in America. If you've not listened to that documentary, it's great. There's another one, blanking on the name of, but on Amazon Prime, there's another one where this guy actually traced pretty quickly his ancestors that owned slaves, owned a cotton plantation, and kind of, again, wrestled with the idea of what does white privilege mean in 2019. It's deeply important work, and I feel like we're just about at that tipping point in ed tech where we're not talking nonstop around the app or the tools or the platform or what version of the platform you're on. Oh, are you on iOS 8? Right? Oh my gosh, it's so much different than iOS 7. What about the iPhone 8 Plus? Right? Like, we're at the point now where I think the tech works. If it's a little bit outdated, right? It's not gonna be like, oh my gosh, you need to have this cart. It's becoming more platform agnostic, less about the app and more about what students can do with it. I think that still like students creating and making and sharing stuff and putting student choice and student agency at the center of the learning experience, we still have a lot of work to do with that. But also I think that the EdTech community is beginning to develop an awareness that being more inclusive matters a lot and that technology in schools can deeply support that or deeply like help resist or hinder schools being more inclusive. So it's super important work. I think that the more we can read about it, talk about it, and normalize it, be able to talk about what privilege is, the better our schools are gonna be, the better we will be as educators, and most importantly, the better our students will be. And the more access and more inclusive they will have, you know what I'm trying to say, the more inclusive our schools will be. Again, I could talk like a lot about this and I have a whole episode about it. I'm going to continue to kind of share that work. But that's something that a lot of us at Hillbrook are deeply focused on. The last thing I'm going to mention with that is that once a month, our school has early release. So Wednesdays, students get out an hour early and we have longer faculty meetings. We have different protocol groups where we're actually going to get together. And we've had one meeting so far where we're talking specifically around DEI work. And so, yeah, it's one of a handful of meetings that we've had so far. And I'm super, super excited about what that space may be. I lied. There's one more thing. A couple weeks ago, I drove up to Berkeley. POSIS, which is an acronym, People of Color in Independent Schools, had a day-long event around being more inclusive for administrators. And I had never been to a POSIS event because I am not a person of color. But Gulliver, who is our new director of DEI, suggested I go. So I went, and it was amazing. It's been a long time since I've been to a new space and known almost nobody. I'm used to knowing lots of people, most of the people, and really feeling like an expert in that space. So this was a space where I very much did not feel like an expert, because I'm not. This is the language of this and the way we approach this work that they can be kind of sticky at times is super new to me. And I've struck with two things. There are people that have absolute expertise in this work, and that the people that are doing that are super cool people, like super welcoming. Within 5 seconds, I felt like my presence there mattered. And that was super cool. So big shout out to the folks at POSIS for hosting a really well thought out event, but also like a really warm and I guess inviting inclusive event. It's good stuff. So I'm going to keep sharing out diversity, equity, and inclusion resources on all the things. And that's something that's very much an important thing that I'm working on this year, personally and professionally. My third goal, we're almost halfway there, is to design high quality parent education. The way that I am approaching that is actually to look at smaller groups of parents who have an absolute expertise around technology, right? So our school is like 20 minutes from downtown San Jose, within an hour of all the big tech companies, who have a lot of parents that are really leading the charge with a lot of the things that we're learning about, that we're talking about, things that like deeply affect our lives every day. You know, Facebook, but also just, you know, all the hardware, all the things. And so really trying to figure out which parents care a lot about that work and then where it intersects with what we're doing as a school. So last May, I hosted about 15 parents. We had a lunch and talked about screen time. And so it wasn't so much like, you know, how much screen time do we need, but like the idea of screen time. And I shared four articles. Is this helpful for students, for their kids? Is it harmful for them? Are we at the point where it's just have as much screen time as possible, which was the case like 5-8 years ago? Like, oh my gosh, one-to-one is so important. And it was just like a full steam ahead. Yes, technology. And I don't think we're at the point where it's the opposite of that, where it's like no screens ever. Screens are the enemy. They're ruining our students' ability to live and be. We're in a super gray area. And so we talked about that for a couple hours, had some lunch, and I just really reflected on what we do as parents, what we do professionally, and where we might head with their kids, with our kids, with our students at Hillbrook, and really with all students. So we're going to continue those types of conversations, really just bringing in people with this deep expertise, and it's going to be exciting. Additionally to that one specific thing I'm doing, our school's really kind of reimagining what parent education can look like, and a big part of that is when it will look like, when it will happen. Sometimes it'll be in the morning on campus, sometimes it'll be in the afternoon, sometimes it's a night event. We're really kind of rethinking how to make it more accessible for parents with a variety of responsibilities and jobs. The fourth one is one that's taking up a lot of time, but is probably like the least like innovative of them all. It's the CAIS self-study. So if you don't know, or actually if you do know, it means the same thing I was gonna say. If you don't know, CAIS is the California Association of Independent Schools. If you do know, it still stands for the California Association of Independent Schools. It's like when people say, hey, if I don't see you, have a great weekend. Well, yeah, but what if you do see me? Should I not have a good weekend? Just that if-then statements. Anyway, so what our schools end up doing, we are writing essentially a book. The self-study has many, many, many chapters, and it's how independent schools in California get accredited. So we will write our self-study with many sections. They're posed as questions, and then we answer the question. Each chapter has maybe between like 3 and 10 questions, and some of the questions are like part 1 through 4, and each one of those is going to be like about a full page. So it's a significant amount of work that every teacher has helped answer one of the questions, and now the senior leadership team is beginning to edit that and add parts that need a little bit more, trying to help it start to feel like it has one voice. So it's been a lot of writing, a lot of reflecting. And then once we're done with that self-study, a group of educators are going to come and spend a little less than a week with us and see how we do or don't actually live out what we said we did. You know, here's what we're doing, here's what we want to work on, all of those things. So that's a significant amount of work that a lot of us at Hillbrook are doing this year. That happens, by the way, if a school is accredited at the lengthiest amount of time, about a 7-year accreditation. So it's not an annual or even a biannual thing. It is a septennial. Yeah. All right. On to my personal goals, or more like independent professional goals, is to continue to work on Hillbrook's infrastructure. So upgrading different parts of our infrastructure, fine-tuning them. That can be the phones, it can be Wi-Fi, our servers, all of like the systems side things. A lot of what that's looked like so far has been fine-tuning the power of wireless access points. So over the last 5.5 years that I've been at Hillbrook, we've actually tripled the amount of devices that are on campus on our network, which is kind of wild to think. But you think about it, like each of us has probably doubled or tripled the amount of devices that we carry with us. So that's not too surprising. So we've moved the two biggest things, and you read about this a full year ago if you read the Tech Director Year 5 blog post I did, is that all of our buildings now have upgraded gigabit armored fiber to protect it, because sometimes some rats will chew through the fiber underground. So it's armored. It is super fast, and now that is a home run, which means it goes directly from our server room to a network switch in each building. That's been a big upgrade. That was a lot of my work last year. And then over the last couple of years, we've moved to one wireless access point per classroom, and those are now professionally mounted, which means they are in the ceiling. They are centered. So almost if you imagine like if a fire sprinkler were to go off, how it would... I knock the microphone using my hands to describe it, you know, it would spray and cover the whole room. Similarly with Wi-Fi, like gravity does affect it. People do affect it. And so we have that. And now that we have that, now that we have really fast internets, as my mom calls it, really fast internets going to every building, and then all of our wireless access points are hardwired, so that's super fast. We actually are sometimes overpowering. So the default for these access points is just like max power. And so we're actually having to like lessen the power because people are connecting to other classroom access points through the walls. And so like as you're walking past a room, your device will hop on and then you're like two rooms down or across kind of a mini quad. And so you're actually thinking that the internet's slow, but really what's happening is that you're just connected through like two walls. And so actually fine tuning that power has been a lot of work this year. And there's so much to do around the infrastructure, and that kind of the ed tech is one bucket of my role here. And then the systems is kind of the other big bucket of it. And so that's one of my goals this year, is continuing to look at the infrastructure. And then my final goal is to really look at my role as safety coordinator. So this is new for my position this year. We're actually going to do a new safety audit, a security audit. And I am the one. Are you ready? I don't think you are. I'm the one that actually now plans and runs all of our fire drills. And so coordinating with our local fire marshal, coordinating with Felix, who's our head of facilities, planning out all the times of that. And it's not, again, not nearly as exciting or innovative as like, we're building a new hub and all the things. We're getting a new laser cutter. Those are super fun conversations to have. This one is super important, and it's taken a decent amount of time. So coordinating all of that and looking at all of basically all our safety documentation, making sure it's up to date, updating the other things, running a security audit to see what we have and what else we might have. That's my final goal of this year. So curious if any of those resonate with you more than others, what work you have done, what work you are doing that might overlap with that. If there's anything that we might be able to work on together, reach out for sure. If there's anything I might be missing or resources you have for me or any of those, dude, come on, share those. And those are my goals. Yay. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Bill Selleck Talks.